Got Captain Wayne Miller on the line. Wayne, what do you think about this cold weather, man?
Man, I'll tell you what, Joe, it's been a great morning. I'm still out here. In fact, I just got through catching the biggest fish I've caught so far today. And, it's been, you know, we kind of a mixed blessing. We finally got that cold front that we needed to really drop this water temperature some. You know, unfortunately, we got all that fresh water along with it. But it really, you know, it hadn't hurt the fishing tremendously. And, you know, the Mobile is going up to about, you know, a little over 6 feet on the berry reading. So, you know, that's not going to be bad. It's, you know, we're not going to have any flooded conditions. But, you know, basically what it's done, Joe, is what we've been talking about for a while with cold weather that we've seen. It's making these fish, you know, go ahead and make that move and migrate up in these creeks adjacent to the bays. And, you know, that's where they'll be all winter long. And, you know, it's just a ton of fun to get in here and fish for these guys.
With those water levels rising, how does that affect those creeks?
You know, it really doesn't hurt them that much because, you know, the further south you go, just like with this front that we've seen, you know, we had that north wind blow yesterday. It blew last night, and we've had a good strong wind today. So it really keeps that water pulled out. I mean, it's incredible to see how, you know, you think you've got, you know, a lot of fresh water and a lot of high water, but the tide and the wind has a tremendous effect on it down on the lower end.
Well, tell us about the pattern you've been on this morning. Is the bite a subtle bite, or what's going on?
No, I've been catching. I'm catching one right now, as a matter of fact. I've caught quite a few fish on crankbaits today. You know, and they're, you know, on outside bends, you know, not real deep, but, you know, on ledges that anywhere around the mouths of ditches and any type of wood cover. But most of the fish I've been catching crankbait-wise, I've been catching on a Bandit 200 series. And but quite a few of these fish that I've caught on the crankbait, you know, I'll slow down and throw some plastic and you know, catch quite a few more fish off those same areas.
That makes sense. So it sounds like you're using your crankbait to prospect those creeks, and then when you find a fish, you slow down on the soft plastics. Now, you mentioned that Bandit. Is that a square bill crankbait, or is that what type of crankbait is that?
No, the 200 series Bandit, it's a, you know, they call it a deep diver. It basically runs about, you know, 5 to 7 feet. And, you know, I'm throwing it in a color they call Humblebee. It's actually kind of a crawfish color. It's always been an excellent color here on the Delta and real popular. I mean, just about everybody throws it, but there's a reason they throw it. It works.
Right. Now, tell me, Wayne, when you're throwing that crankbait and you get hung up, do you have a method? You know, I've always been kind of don't really want to bring my boat in there to get it unhooked because I don't want to mess up the fishing. What do you do when you get snagged?
Well, you know, a lot of times you can and you know, pop your line and, you know, and get that crankbait to come off. You know, the trick is developing a feel with that crankbait so that you can actually tell when the bait's getting up on wood, because the last thing you want to do is really set that hook and, you know, bury that hook, because if you do, then, you know, really the only option you've got is to actually go in there and get it. You know, I think it'll be a good weekend. You know, I think we're going to see the north wind's going to lay some, and it, you know, the water will clean up a little bit more. Some of the creeks, you know, have definitely stained up some. You know, and you would expect that with all the, you know, the local, you know, running that we got. But, you know, it hadn't muddied them. And that's, you know, that's the good news. And, you know, as soon as we have a couple of tide cycles, it'll clean up some. And especially down on the south end where you've got grass, you know, that vegetation really helps clean that water up.
Right. All right, Wayne. Well, thanks for that report, man. Stay warm out there, and hope you got a PFD on if you end up in the water. That's you need to get out quick.
Yep. All right, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's take it on down a little further south. Talk to Mike Thompson. Mike, the story of the day is cold, but we've got a lot of water coming down. How's that affecting things in the Delta?
Well, it hasn't had a big effect yet. But according to some of the local bait shops that have to deal with this on a daily basis, they're expecting next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, for us to start seeing some of that real muddy water coming down the rivers, which will affect the fishing.
Well, so it sounds like there's still fish being caught right now.
Oh, yeah, they're doing real well. People are trying to get tucked in out of the wind. They're going in some of these lower creeks, and Mudhole Creek has been good. Game Warden's Ditch has been good. Baymanette Basin has been good. All of these have been good for bass and redfish. Live shrimp is the top bait, but you can still catch them on artificial. But dropping a live shrimp along that grass line is going to get you some pretty immediate attention.
Mike, what about catfish this time of year?
Well, the guys that I know that really concentrate on it, they like it when it gets cold like this. They like it when it starts to muddy up. And they'll get in the local rivers like the Spanish River or the Tensaw River, and they'll get on a drop-off anywhere from 10 to 15 feet, and they'll fish on the bottom with some sort of stinky bait. Most of them use just dead shrimp, and they catch a lot of cats doing that. And there's still a lot of other fish that'll be there besides the cats. You'll catch a lot of those small puppy drum during this time period. And, you know, we're kind of, this rain is kind of, unusual in the timing it normally would happen after Thanksgiving before we'd see a big flush. But, anyway, yeah, you can catch cats on the drop offs in the rivers this time of year.
Now
when you have this condition,
you're talking about that cold weather. One of the favorite spots when it gets cold like this is Theodore Industrial Canal. Have you heard any reports out of there?
Oh yeah, they did real good in Theodore Canal. One of our local legends that wins a lot of tournaments, Trini Woodham, has caught some really big specks in Theodore Canal. He's a live bait man. He likes to freeline his shrimp with a lead BB shot. Other people are in there fishing with suspending mirror lures, catching a few fish, but they're catching fish up to 6 pounds in there right now.
That's a fine speckled trout anywhere, and this is a good time of year to get after some of those big fish in there. What about the rivers, Fowl River, Dog River, and over on the east side of the bay?
Well, everybody has to run and hide when we have a whirlwind like we did over the past weekend. Fowl River was actually pretty good early, and there was a lot of specks caught in there. Most of them were caught with live shrimp, but the others were caught with, you know, suspending baits like Miradines or Catch 2000s. I mean, it's going to get better and better. You know, Fowl River, I know you have a place over that way. Fowl River's fishing improves as it gets colder. The colder the water gets, the farther up the specks move into Fowl River. And I have a friend that lives on Fowl River, and I ran into him the other day, and he said, the fish have not made it that far up yet. And he lives up near the Sonneborn area.
Yeah, that's where my parents have a place close to there, and you're right. I was actually out there this morning. I was hoping you could just tell me something that I didn't see myself, but the It seemed like the fish were closer to the mouth of the river. I imagine that rain had an effect on that. But,
well, some of the bigger fish that were caught near Bellingraph Gardens,
mm-hmm,
you know,
right,
out in the middle of the shallow bays, the small nooks in there. and there was no rhyme or reason for why they were there. A couple of my buddies went and caught some fish up to 5 pounds in there on live shrimp, 2 or 3 feet under a cork.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about flounder?
Haven't heard anything on the flounder. That's been kind of a silent night here. Now, I'll tell you what has been going good prior to that huge blow we had over the weekend. A lot of puppy drum were caught in the small channels south of the causeway. Turtle ditch was particularly good for puppy drum and redfish. The crabber's channel behind Felix's had some puppy drum in it. All those places like that that have a channel leading from the causeway out into the bay were holding fish. How long they'll stay there, who knows? They were biting live shrimp. The best bite was on live shrimp, free line with a BB shot.
Well, Mike, it sounds like a good report to me. It looks like it's going to be a nice weekend to be out there. So hope you get out and get after
them. They went all to let us fish more this week.
I agree. Well, hope you can get out there after them, buddy. Thanks for report. We've got one of my favorite captains on the line, and we're talking some inshore speckled trout and redfish. Bobby Abrascato, how's it going, man?
Well, I'm glad you got something on the line, because we sure didn't get much on the line today, man.
Yeah, it was tough. It was a slow morning for us. We didn't get to go for very long, but we fished on Fowl River, and it was slow. We caught some, quite a few shorts and a few keepers, but we were fishing all artificial, and it seemed like the water was kind of stained up a little bit. What are you seeing?
I was curious to hear what was going on down there. Well, we started in the Delta this morning, and it just, the wind was blowing so hard, it was hard to tell, what was wind-blown muddy and what was fresh muddy. But I can tell you there's a combination of both up there. But, I mean, there were some pockets of some clear enough water to catch fish in, up there. So, I think we're probably going to miss it by a day. I think starting by the weekend, even though we're going into this weak tide by the weekend, I think by the weekend it's going to really get straightened out, we moved down to Dog, and the water down in Dog really looks fine. We just got there a little bit late, I think a little bit later than we needed to be. So I think all in all, with the air temperature dropping, and if we do get, we're going to get a slug of water coming down through the Delta. Once that gets out of there, now that this water temperature's dropped and these fish have really transitioned into the river systems, because pre this weather system we had, it was really starting to get on in some of the rivers. We went last weekend. We had the Joey Landrenew with the Slick Lure Company in with us Sunday and caught some beautiful fish in the rivers, using those hard bait. I mean, it's a mullet imitation.
Mm-hmm.
Caught some beautiful fish on that, and that really told me that these fish are kind of starting to transition into this later fall, winter pattern. Prior to that, kind of been a popping cork deal out on the flats at the mouths of the rivers, on the flats on the edges of the river channels, so that was kind of nice to see that. And it was kind of nice not to have to be popping cork all day long, too. So, mm-hmm. It's going to happen. We just get through this little slug of water coming down through the Delta, and I think it's going to be all right.
Bobby, this morning we did pretty well on a popping cork with the voodoo shrimp underneath it. We also threw some slick lures and caught some fish on those as well, which that slick lure is a twitch bait. So I want to ask you, how do you work your twitch baits, whether it's a slick lure or something like a Miradine, something of that nature? How do you really, when I was working the bait back, I'm kind of almost working it like I would a jig head with a paddle tail, where I'm kind of twitching it twice and then reeling up the slack. Am I doing that wrong?
No, you're not. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure there's a right way. And I'll tell you a funny story about this past Sunday. We had, as I mentioned to you, with Joey with us, and it was me, Richard, and Joey. And Richard and I have been fishing shoulder to shoulder with slick lure since we found it here. And we work the lure so different from each other, and both catch fish on it. And Joey's standing there between us, kind of shaking his head. He's, I've never seen guys work the lure like you guys work it. I don't think there's a right or a wrong way, but to answer your question, I never stop reeling. I just reel fairly slow with a either a 7-1 to 1 or an 8-0 to one gear ratio reel. So the bait's moving pretty good, but I'm just slowly rolling it, and I don't twitch it. It's more of, I call it kind of a roll, just kind of roll the lure. That lure's got so much natural action on it to where you don't really have to jerk it. Richard, on the other hand, he jerks the fool out of it, and he catches fish on it. So it's really kind of two different presentations that work really well. So, you know, I think one of the things, if I had a tip to give on that is, you know, if you, however you're working it, if you get bit, you got to really try and imitate that again. You got to, right. You can remember what you were doing when you, you know, what presentation you were making when you got bit. Try and do that again, because the fish are going to tell you how they want it.
All right, Bobby. Well, thanks for that report, man. Sounds like the rivers ought to be good this weekend.
Okay, JoJo. Well, y'all have a good weekend.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's talk with Captain Brad Whitehead. Brad guides on Lake Pickwick and the Bear Creek chain of lakes. Brad, it's been raining. It's been cold. Y'all got sleet. I know there's been a little snow up to the north of you. What's going on up there, man? You been able to get out?
Well, we've been shut down for the past 4 or 5 days. We've got a lot of water, a lot of wind. They have turned the spillways on. Basically, what that means is when the lakes start to fill up, where they're not generating, they're actually letting it go through the dam freely. And, we're, you know, that's pretty dangerous to get close to the dam. Now, on the other end of the lake, which would be the west end of Pickwick, it's a great time because you've got a lot of currents coming down the lake. All these dams are breached, and, you know, they're letting water flow, and all that does is move things around. And what I mean by that is bait fish, you know, it's gonna move fish around. It's gonna put a lot of oxygen in the water, and it's gonna turn on a feeding frenzy in the next couple of days.
Well, this amount of rain that we've had is abnormal for this time of year. But November on Pickwick, what do you normally expect, and what kind of patterns do you think you'll start to see present themselves as we get into the weekend?
As far as live bait, November is probably the best month as far as live bait. Artificial, we're talking your A-rigs, your multiple bait A-rigs, cube baits. You'll be getting back into your swim baits, you know, putting an ounce, just a simple ounce lead head on a swim bait, and covering a lot of water. I know we had a tournament last week, and it was still averaging, taking 18 to 20 pounds to get in, you know, to get in the money. So I would say probably by next Wednesday or Thursday, probably by the time we talk next week, it should be on fire. So, you know, that's really what we're looking forward to, is when they turn them spillways off the next couple of days, the fish are going to come in a feeding frenzy.
Right. What's the water clarity like whenever they've got this much water coming through different parts of the lake?
Well, now that plays a big part. A lot of places, I would say a couple of hundred yards downriver of any creeks that come into Pickwick are going to have some kind of color to it. A lot of times you can take your boat and get to the edge of that where the dingy water makes the clear water, and again, you're going to catch a lot of fish. The further you go down Pickwick, the west end, you know, you'll have a mixture. You might have a couple of miles there where there's not a lot of creeks that feed into Pickwick, and the water will be clear. You know, you'll have a little bit of stain to it. And then you get around Bear Creek or Indian Creek, where those are the main creek channels that are off of Pickwick. You're going to have a lot of mud coming out of them, you know, because each dam is spilling. So you've got a mixture of things, you know, that you'll be able to fish. If you're a dirty water, shallow water fisherman, you'll have plenty of that. Still like the clear water, what we're used to, you still got that. So you have a multiple, you know, ways to catch them and color, you know, that fits what you like.
Well, Brad, if folks want to get together with you and get a trip going, how do they do it?
Just give me a call at 256-483-0834 or social media on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll get you fixed up.
All right, Brad. Well, thanks for the report this week. We'll be checking back with you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, let's head on over and see how this rain and all this water has been affecting Lake Martin. We got Captain David Hare on the line. David, what does the rain do to Lake Martin, and what does it do to those striped bass?
Well, I'll tell you, the lake this week has came up about a foot and a half from all the rain we've had. It started raining here about 9 o'clock Sunday night, and just stopped today. And then I've been out today and been in the sleet and snow today. So make a long story short, it stains up the main river channel, you know, which runs all the way down to the dam down through the lake. And so those fish will start looking for some cleaner water, a little clearer water. And so you have to get back out of that channel. And last week I was catching these fish anywhere from 60 to 80 feet deep. And today I found them in different areas and was catching them from 30 to 50 feet.
So what do you do you mentioned that, you know, you've been out having to scout and yeah, find sure. these fish. One of the things I've always personally struggled with when I'm scouting is how long to give a spot. So when you scout, are you fishing to scout or are you just using your electronics? How do you scout?
Well, I definitely use my electronics, and a lot of days when I'm scouting, you know, if I see a spot that's got a lot of fish in it, a lot of days I won't even fish in them. I'll just mark that spot, mm-hmm. you know, and go on and find some other fish. Now, today, seeing how all the trips this week had rescheduled for the last 3 or 4 days, so today I actually dropped down some live bait to make sure these fish were going to hit, seeing how they made such a major change. And I caught 7 fish in 45 minutes on one spot, so I reeled up and got out of there and went to some other areas. So I do both, but if I'm scouting, I don't usually sit on one spot over about 30 minutes if I'm sitting still, you know.
Right. Now, with these colder air temperatures, how's that affected the water temperature?
Well, today, the warmest water I got in today was 63.5, and it had been about 67 or 68, is what it was Sunday. So it dropped pretty good this week.
I was out this morning and liked to froze to death, but I had a pretty good morning. But what I noticed down here is that the bite was really subtle. Now, I don't know. I'm not real sure why that was happening, or maybe it was just because I was using a soft plastic. It was more of a finesse fishing, but the bite was really subtle. What was the bite like there on the lake for you?
Mine was just the opposite. Huh. I mean, they hit harder today than they've been hitting. I mean, when they decided to hit, I mean, they were trying to break the rods in half.
Well, that's good. And I know that November, December can be a good month for high numbers of fish. Are there still just as good a chance of catching a really big fish?
Yes, sir. I tell everybody your most consistent time for great big fish is March, April, and May, but it's nothing for us to catch a 20 or 30 pounder this time of year. You know, it's just not quite as consistent as March, April, and May, but the numbers are just unreal. Normally this time of year you're going to catch a lot of numbers, 8 to 20 pounds, and if you're lucky, you'll get a kicker fish in there that might go 30-plus pounds.
Well, that'd be a trophy fish for anybody. It's something I got to get up and do sooner rather than later. If folks do want to get together with you and book a trip, how do they do it?
Yes, sir. The easiest way to get me is either call or text me at 256-401-3089. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook, Ellet City Guide Service Lake Martin, and then websites, elletcityguideservice.com.
Thanks, Captain David. Be safe, and hope you warm up.
Yes, sir. You too. Have a good week.
All right. Let's head on up north and talk to Joe Dunn. Joe's on Miller's Ferry. Joe, it looks like the crappie fishing is pretty good. How's this water coming down going to affect things?
It's going to put a hurt on it for a little while. We got about 2 weeks of real high water, and it's going to change things up. You got to be able to shift gears and go to a different technique now, but you're going to probably, just depending on how high the water gets and how muddy and nasty the river is, you're going to have to hunt those eddy pockets, and you can still bottom bounce in some of those and may pick up some fish. And if it gets too swift and they're not in there, it's going to push some of them up just inside the mouth of these creeks, and some of your bigger sloughs that's got still have clear water in those, which my main go-to one is either like, you know, alligator, go down to the marina slough. Now you can get back in the marina slough. Since they built a new bridge now, you can actually access up in there. And it will push some fish in there. And then you can go to your, you know, your trolling or either just flipping, you know, casting and, you know, just checking out some of the tops along the edges of those places like that. But this high water is going to mess things up for a little while.
Talk to me about those eddy pockets a little bit. Go a little bit more in depth on those.
Well, what you'll do, which electronics are great, but for finding stuff that may be in them, but what you got to do now is learn how to read that water. And what I'm saying is you'll get and ease up along the bank, and you're looking for structure that's sticking out, or maybe there's a point there. And then you'll look inside that point, and everybody says, what are you looking for? Well, you're looking for that water to swirl in, and actually, and you'll see in it, maybe there may be some trash in it, and you'll see that trash get into a little spot there, and it just kind of goes dead. And then out from it, maybe 5 or 6 feet, that river's just raging, going on down. Well, that spot there where that water kind of stops at, that's where the fish are going to get and hide. They're going to get out of that current. They can't stay in that swift, swift water and be able to, you know, ambush anything. And actually, the bait will get in those places like that, too. So that's what you're looking for. You've got to be able to read the water on top of it and look for those swirls and then look for the places where it kind of goes dead at. And that's where you want to fish at. And I'm saying every 80 pocket's going to have fish because it may be an 80 pocket tank, but 6 foot of water or 3 foot of water there, well, you know, obviously that's not going to hold fish. But if you find a bigger eddy pocket that, say, is right on up in, say, 18 to 20 foot of water up in that eddy pocket, well, that's probably where you're going to find some fish.
And you're just dropping a jig down in those pockets?
Well, this time of year, like I said, with this muddy water and this dingier water, I want something with a little color on it, but I'm still going to be using like a drop shot rig, a 1 ounce. You know, lay it on the bottom, come up, and then maybe a tube jig on there, but you're going to have live bait. Live bait is key. And whether you're in there catching, trying to find crappie in those eddy pools, or if you're hunting catfish in those places like that too, you know, you're going to be putting your cut shad down in there. So it works for, that's where everything's going to be hiding at, is up in those pockets.
That's really interesting. That's a good tactic, sounds like, with this water coming up. But you mentioned catfish. As the river starts to get out of its banks, when will limb lines get good?
Well, anytime you have high water and it puts, everything is going to go out. I mean, if there's high water, they're going to go into the woods. If there's a place where it goes way out in the woods, they're going to go out in some of those places there, and they're going to feed this time of year. And get, you know, they'll go to showing up getting fat, you know, finding all kind of stuff they feed off. And then when the water pulls out, well, they're going to pull on out to the next, you know, edge or ledge or whatever along the structure there. But if it gets way out, the fish are going to pull out and go out in the woods.
When it comes to limb lines, is there anything that you look for?
Well, basically, like I said, you still want stuff that's closer to the main channel or a channel, you know. So you want to say a bend in a creek channel that doesn't have a lot of current, that's got a lot of deep water right there, that will work good. Everything follows those channels going in and coming out. So that's kind of the stuff I look for.
When you're setting those up, I've done it a little bit, not a lot, but when I've done it, we've used the yo-yo rigs, and then we've used just, you know, just standard limb lines. What do you like to use?
I've done a little of both too, but you know, if you're going to use for the catfish, I just use regular, just a straight line. But for the crappie, I've always liked to use those yo-yos. Now they work good on them too.
I've never done it for crappie. That would seems like that would be a lot of fun. Well, we got deer season open this weekend. You going hunting? Or you going fishing this weekend?
Oh, we're definitely going to hunt now. We got to go ahead and get us some few does and put in the freezer, and going to get the cameras out and see what we got going on. If we got any trophies, we're going to be hunting for. But I like to, if we're going to cull any does, I want to do it early and get it done before January.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, good luck out there, Joe. I hope y'all have a good weekend. Thanks for the report.
All right. Thank you, Joe.